All right. Welcome back. Let me get this thing right. All right. Why don't we go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time that we have to worship you, to grow in your word. We thank you for the completed canon that you have for us here in the church age. We ask that we can concentrate today and be able to learn something that we may be able to apply in this life. We thank you in these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so here we are with, we've kind of moved on to taking a look at Moses. And let me just read, let me read this one more time just so we have an idea of what we're working with here. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So, and what we had mentioned, or what we left off with talking about, was the fact that some of these things seem to be dangerous that these believers experience and go through. And I think there's no doubt that we can view the future or what we're about to partake in as dangerous or maybe risky or something. You know, when we don't know, we can fill that gap with a lot of things that may not be true. Like worry allows us to do that. And so the reality is that God is the one who moves us through these places that he uses us in. And I wanted to show you that by looking at each one of these believers. So I don't think worry or the unknown is justified in this case if you're in the plan of God. So so here we are. And then we looked at verse 26 here. Now, here's the same word for consider we saw where Sarah considered God as faithful. See where Sarah's considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, this is that process that we saw took place in Sarah in her spiritual life. There was a definite growth and a consideration that came out of that growth. Here it is, the same word. So there's a, you know, we sometimes have to come up to these conclusions, we could say. This is a conclusion that Moses has come up to and that we have to come up to. I think this is definitely part of the plan of God. There's a piece of this that you have to come to grips with. And not only just to think about it, there's a thought process that goes with this, right? There's a consideration. We could look at it like that. But then there is a decision. So, and this is all progressive that happens through growing, learning the Word of God, and seeing. Actually, God shows us, right? He always does. He shows us what's more valuable, where we will enjoy the most happiness, find the most fulfillment, and be the most satisfied. See, we don't know that going into the plan and down God's road at the beginning. We just know that we are to be faithful believers and to be consistent. But as things start to close in on you, per se, to get that path narrow, God will begin to bring these things into reality and into your life where you begin to think about them. And this is one of those things that the reproach of Christ the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And that's what we have to consider too. Now, the word reproach, now most people would see this as crazy. This is a Christian in the plan of God reality, though. This isn't crazy, but this is, I'm just speaking to you as the world sees things, right? Reproach here means, this is an interesting word, it means, it's not a word that's usually thought of as a good thing. But here it's the reproach of Christ, right? We know that it's saying that. So this has to do with the undeserved suffering a believer can experience in the plan of God, in the plan. This includes things like damage to your reputation, being disgraced, facing injustice, being excluded, or the feeling of missing out on various activities of life. So there's a lot that goes with this, but the same truth holds to be consistent, that the consideration has to be there before you move forward. You've got to have the understanding and the reality of that these things that I just mentioned are more valuable than stepping out and not going through them. That's where we're at. That's where we need to be, because remember, you're in a critical area. God is not only using you, but He's using you in ways where you're going to face opposition to the plan. And here we are, and God is moving. Satan opposes God's plan, no doubt about it. And we will experience some of that opposition as far as this world goes. So how we handle that opposition, well, that's comes down to trusting in the one who is able to handle it, because we can't handle the adversity. At least the things that I mentioned, they can be overwhelming and they can make you tap out. So there can be a lot of negative personal feelings involved with these things. But when we have the proper understanding of their value in the plan of God, that's what rises to the top. And then all of a sudden you would desire what God wants you and where He wants you to be instead of what we desire. So Moses considered these things greater. And what is he looking to? Well, he's looking at the faithfulness of God, of course, and he's looking to the reward. To him, the reward is greater than the temporary fleeting satisfaction or enjoyment that we receive in this life. He's not thinking about the reward here. He's thinking about the eternal reward. And then the verse continues talking about Moses. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now, I know Hebrews doesn't mention the doubt and the human failure about these individuals. It's talking about their faith. But at the same time, I went back, I had to see, because we're talking about also the bad decisions of the believers. I just wanted to see where Moses failed or where he made a bad decision, right? Because we need to see that, because I think the faithfulness of God shines right through those moments. And we know that Moses doubted, that's for sure. We know that he doubted, he questioned. Remember, he questioned God right from the very moment he was called from the burning bush. This is right at the beginning, right? And remember, when we're called, we're prepared. But Moses didn't think he was prepared. Look at Exodus 3:11. It says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Remember, we actually studied this. So what's his first thought here? I'm unworthy, I'm incapable, and I'm inadequate. That's Moses' first thought, and that's our thought many a times. You want me to do what? That's what you want me to do? There's no way. That's Moses' thought in the plan of God. Here we are. God has laid upon your heart the call that you're maybe afraid to go down that road. That's where Moses is at right now. And we think about that sometimes. We think, God, not me. There's so many other people, God, right, that we can perceive and see as adequate or more than adequate or more than capable for the job that God wants you to do. We can look around and say, well, they can do that, or this person can do that, right? Remember I said the pool is small. The pool is small, and we have to recognize that there's a great responsibility that comes with what you're doing and how you're doing it. God is going to direct and use, so you can't have the same attitude as Moses. At least don't keep the same attitude, right? Of course, what happens, we know what happens. God assures Moses. He assures, he says, I will be with you. I will be with you, right? What happens? This is number one. Number two, what happens to Moses? He doubts again, doesn't he? By asking him, what if they ask who sent me? Or they ask God's name? He's starting to question these little bitty details now, right? What if they ask me who's the God who sent you? What God sent you? He was worried. What was he worried about? He was worried that the people wouldn't respond to Moses' authority. He was worried. He could see the high position, the critical position, and he was worried that there wouldn't be a response. He's like, how am I going to do this? Ever go into a classroom of children and you get no response? You feel overwhelmed sometimes if you can't get their attention and calm them down, right? They'll climb all over a teacher in a hot second. Some of you are like, it ain't happening to me. But you get the idea. He viewed it as something that was overwhelming, and he was questioning his ability to even have an impact or get a response here. So he's basically questioning his ability to lead the people. Now, and that can be intimidating, right? When someone tells you to go somewhere where you just left, 40 years before that point, you fled there. Now someone's telling you to go back, go talk to the head dude over there, the Pharaoh, and tell him you're going to take his people out of there. That's what we want you to do. We may question too, right? We might say, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on now, right? But God answers him again and tells Moses, he says, tell them I am has sent me to you. That's what God tells him to tell him. And then here you are at Exodus 4:1. This is number three, Moses questioning God. Then Moses says, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Now, the issue is that he was concerned, of course, that the people first wouldn't respond to him. Now he's saying they wouldn't listen to him. Same kind of idea, right? But what does God do after this verse? Remember, God shows him three proofs, right? He gives him three signs. He shows him the sign of the staff. He shows him the sign of his hand turning leprous and then it disappearing. And then he also turned the water to blood before Moses' eyes. He showed him three signs. Now, what God is showing Moses at this point is that it's not about the natural things, Moses. It's about the supernatural. That's what he said. Moses was just looking at the natural. How are these people going to listen to me? He was looking to himself, looking at the types of people he was dealing with, looking where he was going. And God's saying, it's not about the natural. It's not about the numbers. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about God. It's about the supernatural. And he showed him that in the signs that could only be done by God. That's the only person who could have completed these things. So what he's showing Moses, that he is to go about this mission that God wants him to go on with God's supernatural power. That's always the issue in the plan of God. We have to do it supernaturally through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power. So, not our own. And what is this? This is another matter of the faithfulness of God to give us what we need when we need it. Specifically, we have His Spirit. We can actually see that Moses had the Spirit too in Numbers 11:17. We know it wasn't the filling as we have today, but God gave the Spirit to certain individuals, endued them with the Spirit to perform the work that He wanted him to. Moses is one of those men. And notice that every time Moses questioned, that God kept redirecting him back. Not to something out here. God kept redirecting him back to God. He's saying, I will comfort you. Say this. Now he's saying, I'll show you. He's showing Moses the signs that only God can do. In other words, here's the power that you have. Think about the staff that Moses had. Remember, he threw it. It turned into a snake. So, and this is a lesson for us, I think, obviously, right, today, to apply this same faithfulness that God has to us to complete the mission successfully. Because it can only be done through Him. You know, humans are capable and can sometimes be very impressive by the things that the human race is capable of. We can do a lot of things that God has given us the ability to do. But none of it can compare to doing it through God's power. In other words, it doesn't matter how smart, how great, how much ability, what you have, you can take the greatest person on this earth, but if he's going to be in the plan of God, he can't do it without God. He's not going to be able to do it. So what we bring to the table is not the issue. God provides what he needs, whether we're lacking or whether we already have something that he's given us ability in. See, these things are, it's just that God provides the things when we need them and how we need them. So Moses, he's not done yet. We're on, what is this, number four? Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He's still reaching, isn't he? He's reaching. Now, you know, he's look how he says, I've never been eloquent. He's reaching pretty far back here. Of course, we know not that far back, about 40 years ago, we see he's described as was a man of power in words and deeds. So he can't be going too far back here, because when he was in Egypt, remember, he was Pharaoh's right-hand man. He was a prince of Egypt at one point. So we see the fear creeping in and just kind of reaching for words and throwing them out there. But we can definitely say that Moses did have some of these qualities, right? We can see that he really isn't the most eloquent speaker at that point, and God understands that. But he, at the same time, he's searching. And you have to love the Lord's response. I think this is my favorite response in the whole section here. Verse 11. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with you or with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. This is the same idea as earlier, isn't it? Except here, God is telling Moses that he has not only designed and created the mouth, but now I'm going to teach you exactly what to say. How many times do we think, oh, what am I going to say when I get there? Well, you know, you want me to go do what around these people? How am I going to present this? And I can relate to this, believe it or not. If you're going to speak in front of people, you can spend hours thinking about how you're going to say it. Guess what? It's a waste of time. All it does is make you worry. The Holy Spirit is in charge of how things come out. We can think of all day about how something is supposed to go, how something is going to happen, or how we think we want it to happen. But at the end of the day, it's going to come out how it wants to come out. And if we let it happen in our worrying and how we want it to go, guess what? It never does. It never does. So we have to push that aside and allow God to send the message, bring the words, remind us of what we need to think about. And that's what he does. That's the beauty of God's faithfulness. And he tells Moses that. There's a lot of time, energy, worry that can go into what Moses is talking about right here. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. We've all experienced it. What am I going to say and how is it going to come out? All these things. But what it does is it hinders you. It hinders you from making progress of what we're really supposed to be concentrating on. Because when we're concentrating on how something is going to come out, that's not even reality. That's not even reality. And also the other thing we're doing is we're relying on our human strength. We're thinking that we can make it come out a certain way. And it never does. Because God allows us to rely on our human strength. And he allows things to come out as they're not supposed to come out. Because we decided to exclude God from that process. And say, see, that's very subtle though. It's very subtle, especially for a preacher. You know, the whole idea here is to get a message across and to teach. Not to be necessarily eloquent, although that would be nice, right? To get a message across nicely. And there's definitely preachers that are very eloquent. I don't think I'm one of those, but you get the point. Eloquence is something that communicates as well. But at the end of the day, if I'm focused on that instead of teaching, it's not going to get across as well as it would if I did it through the Holy Spirit. No doubt. I have no doubt about that. So, and this hugely applies to all of us here. And none of us are immune to this. So, and we can really wrap our time around this, get into questioning God. You can even get into, you know, the stress level being so high. How did I get here? Right? Here's Moses' fifth response. Not long after the other one. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. In other words, not me. Please. Now he's pretty much begging. He's hit the bottom of the barrel here. Please, not me, Lord. And this is almost as bad as saying, God, I think you have the wrong guy. It's just not saying that. Right? He's just begging God, please, someone else. You know, when we do this, and we've all done this, say, why me? Why did you, you know, why not somebody else? Get me out of here. We've all been in a situation where you've been in a spot where we've questioned so much about why God is wanting to use you to do a particular thing. The reality is that God has already long thought out the details on who he wants to use and how he wants you to do it. He understands that you have what you need to accomplish what you need to do. And so to say that, why me, or please choose someone else, is to almost say, God, you don't really know what you're doing. You haven't really considered my background. You haven't considered my skill. You haven't considered... He's considered all that. He's considered every single thing that we have up to the point where he needs us. And that's why the calling is there, right? Because he's had that consideration. Of course, we know what God did here. He actually provided Aaron. He gave Moses Aaron to be his spokesman or to help him in this mission, right? And I think this is just showing us that we can't be a one-man show in anything that we do. You can't be a one-man show in anything. It takes people. It takes other people. You know, this life, there's a lot of things that we can do that are great, but everybody wants to do them on their own. That's not how the plan of God works. We have to have enough humility to take advantage of other people within the plan of God. Guess this church is a perfect example of that. This church is not just about me. It requires a congregation. As we're seeing more clearly and more clearly, it requires a secretary. That's pretty obvious in the last 2 or 3 weeks, right? It requires positive volition to keep a church going. It requires various gifts of different people within a church for a church to keep going. There's so many things that are required, and God is just showing Moses, here, here's someone with another gift that I'm going to provide you. And it's funny that he does it at the very last second. So many times we get to the very line, the very end of the limit, and God provides something at the last minute and saying, here you go. It's almost like he's sitting back and laughing at it, saying, you were stressed out for nothing. And he does that. He'll do that to you. And you'll think, you know, why did you wait so long to do that? But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And what else it is a test of your faith. God does things for a specific reason. He did it this way to Moses. He could have gave him Aaron long before the conversation started. He waited until right now to say, okay, Moses, I'm still faithful. I'm still here. And I'm still going to provide exactly what you need when you need it. So God will provide many different people that come in your life along that mission that you're on in the plan of God to help, to sustain, to do various things. The deacons are sitting over here. You know what? You left us out. You know, we need deacons. I'll tell you that right now. That is one of the major things that keeps me sane, is the deacons. You don't realize it. The prep school teachers are the other thing. There's a lot of things in here that are just critical. You know, the prep school teachers, I can't even begin to tell you. That's the future of our nation sitting back there in that room. So these things are important. And we've got a lot of things, that gifts that I don't have, that you have, that we need. We need them. God has provided the music. I'm sitting here staring right at the piano. Music. We need that, right? Everything that we have, song directors, we need all these things. I don't want to come up here and sit up here by myself and just stare. That does not seem fun to me, and not listen to anything and not have anything being done, because I guarantee you all of it wouldn't be done if I was here. It wouldn't. So here we go. Moses, I don't think he's done yet. Sixth response. They said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So remember, Pharaoh responded. This is down a little bit down the ways in the book. Pharaoh responded to Moses by taking the frustration out on the children of Israel. Remember, Moses presented him saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. Pharaoh responded by making the work harder, beating them, and making the work times two for the people of Israel. That's what happened here. So look at verse 22. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? He's questioning. Why have you brought the very people that he's rescuing? He's saying, why have you brought harm to these people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to his people, and you have not delivered your people at all. This is a reality. This is what's happening. He was sent by God, and now he's experienced this right here. It's funny. Human expectations never are fulfilled the way we think they will be fulfilled. Things don't happen as we think they will happen. This is what's happening with Moses. He's switching to human timing and not God's timing. He's turned. He's made a shift. He keeps doing this over and over. Now, this is much later, a little bit later in the narrative, but it's the same idea, right? He switched. And I think we do the same thing. We have expectations. We think things are going to go in a certain way. God is faithful. He's going to provide. But he's also going to test. There's also adversity that comes with these things. There's also things that are not fun in the midst of all this suffering and the plan that we have to complete. There's things that are, there's a lot of suffering that we have to go through. So our expectations are usually not in those areas, right? We think if we're in the plan of God, if God has me here, then why is this happening in the way it is? We've all done that, and Moses is doing it right here. So, you know, don't be careful. Just be careful about your expectation and God's timing. I think those things can be detached. Our expectations and God's timing are actually always detached unless we're sensitive to God's changes and His plan and not too lenient or reliant on our own will and desire. And that's a big deal, right? God wants us to get all the kinks worked out when we're on our mission. He wants you to get the kinks worked out. What do I mean by that? He wants you to get all the frustrations out. He wants you to get all the temper tantrums out. He wants you to get all the worrying out. He wants you to move all that behind you so you can actually move forward. Moses had to get this part out of the way. He had to get over this before he could move forward. These expectations of Moses's were not being met, but he had to come to the understanding that it's not about my expectations. It's about what God expects of me, right? So we've got to get the kinks worked out. There's a lot of things that we need to work out in our personalities that we sometimes have a hard time dealing with. And God has a way of working those out in His plan. He does it. He does a very good job of that. He will put you in a position where He's using you with that very test that you just thought you could never pass. But here it is. And if it's here, guess what? You can pass it. You can pass it. There is no doubt about it. You have to remember, as we go through these things, the faithfulness of God is not what changes, but what does change is your growth. You're growing throughout this path and the mission that God has you on. And there is some natural growing pains that we go through during this time that we're on this earth if we continue to grow. So you can imagine that the future tests are going to be bigger tests and bigger missions that God has for you. So without learning to fully rely on the faithfulness of God, without learning to do that completely and wholly, it keeps us from moving. It keeps us from moving forward in the plan of God. And remember, that's throughout everything that happens, God provides. And we've seen that. The start, the middle, and the end. Something you go through in life. So whenever we think anything, any doubt that Moses, even Moses, is having here, first he questions himself, then he turns the questions and he directs them to God. And at that point, you can really see that he's to the point where the pressure is overwhelming. The pressure is overwhelming. You've been there. The pressure is overwhelming. We begin to question God's abilities, question God's plan, question His purpose. All these things are coming out in these questions right here. And so that just means that you're under serious pressure, is what that means. Serious pressure brings out these kinds of questions. Because, you know, we are human beings and we feel pain. We feel suffering, mental, both mental and physical pain. And I think he's definitely feeling that. But at the end of the day, there's no reason God doesn't provide even in these situations right here. There is a quiet spot in your soul, in that faithfulness of God. You know, the eye of the storm. There's always a storm in life, but we have to get in the center of the storm and let God work out these details. These were not Moses' battles to fight. these were times in Moses' life and our life when we are to take them as a test from God and realize that we are to trust in His timing. If it wasn't, guess what? The people were meant to be harmed. It wasn't time for God to come in and deliver the people. The timing wasn't there yet. So who are we to say that it should be right now? We just have to realize there's a faith gap there, right? That we need to take note of. So this is a good place to stop here. And a little bit shorter on the second half, but that's okay because at least we're able to start fresh on Wednesday with the new topic of veracity, the veracity of God. Truth is what that means, truth. It's what we teach, and that's what we learn, and that's what we live by, is truth. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the Word. Thank You for just everything that You do. Thank You for the people in our lives with the various gifts that help us, sustain us, uphold us, and allow us to continue in Your plan, because we know without You and without them, we wouldn't be here. So we thank You so much, and we just thank You for the plan that You have, and we pray that we can stay faithful to it and rely on You through all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Should I say
something? Sure. That's right. That's right.
And I'm so thankful that we are here today to celebrate what we're celebrating, that we know we're in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And I love this whole congregation. Now that we have that at this time of year when everything is going towards something else, that we came here today to praise God for His Son, Jesus Christ, and what this season means. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well said, Brenda. Thank you.